Good morning. Always appreciate the opportunity to come before you and speak to you from God's Word. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are all the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this: do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have the right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it is written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sow the spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things, so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple? And those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. We see in these verses the authority for us to support a preacher, for us to support someone who is preaching the gospel. And Paul and Barnabas here are pointing out some things that just because they're disciples of the Lord, just because they're preachers of the Lord, doesn't mean that they're not entitled to work or to take along a believing wife or to do any other things that any Christian man would be able to do. They're not under any special restrictions because they're preachers of the gospel. And they also point out that they have a right to support themselves by proclaiming the gospel and also a right to work doing other things if they can't be supported solely by proclaiming gospel. Now let's look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. So we see the same analogy used for the authority to support preachers in this passage, speaking of elders, speaking of the eldership. And we use 1 Corinthians 9 as authority for the support of preachers, and rightly so. We have authority to do that. And yet, for whatever reason, most churches neglect to apply this authority to the eldership. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning, is support of the eldership. Before I start, I just want to say this is a bit of an awkward subject for me, since I'm the son of one of the elders here. But I really feel that this is something that needs to be brought up. And frankly, the thoughts of this sermon didn't come because my dad needs support. It came because of Brother Mark and his situation. And this is who I'm going to be focusing on this morning. And I've spoke to Brother Mark about this. He knows, and I've talked to him about these things. And I just want to let you know that before I continue. We have a dear brother that's serving as an elder who's been very sick for a long time. And unable to work full-time for a long time. Not able to work hardly at all for a long time. And even during these times when he's been the most sick, he's been doing things behind the scenes as an elder, shepherding this flock. And he's shown tremendous faith and perseverance during this time. I'm not sure why the support of elders isn't widely practiced in the church. There's several reasons I've heard. A lot of times, it's simply because the need isn't there. Mostly, men who are elders have other jobs other things that they do and have been doing before they were appointed as elders, and the financial need simply isn't there. Maybe it's just because of the lack of tradition. It's not something that's traditionally done in the quote-unquote churches of Christ. We talked about a little bit about the traditions in our Bible class, that it's difficult sometimes to break off from traditions, but we have specific authority here that we're able to do something like this. And maybe it's because of the fact that there's only one scripture that I know of that specifically mentions the support of elders. It's not something that I think a lot of people know about or realize that we have authority to do. I think in our situation, maybe it's the unique situation that neither the elders want to bring up having support, and no one in the congregation wants to take initiative to bring up the fact of supporting elders. And I find it disappointing that so many churches are eager to find a fully salaried preacher and to have one because of the authority given in 1 Corinthians 9, and they neglect the eldership when there's explicit authority to do so, especially when we have a need like we have with Brother Mark. And frankly, I'm disappointed in myself for not bringing this up before. He's been having a hard time for a long time. I believe that the church here seriously needs to consider supporting Brother Mark. He's not able to work full-time, like I said, and he's not been able to receive disability benefits as of yet. He's in an immediate financial need, which has been a physical and a mental strain on him and his family. And in this congregation, we have the unique situation where we don't have to worry about supporting a full-time preacher. We have many men capable of preaching so that we don't have to have the financial burden of a full-time preacher. Mark hasn't been able to preach from the pulpit for quite some time, but this is just a small portion of what an elder is able to do and of what an elder does do. Just because he's not able to preach or teach publicly right now doesn't mean he's any less capable of shepherding the flock in other ways. As I said before, talking about the support of elders is awkward for me, but in another sense, I'm able to see much of the work that the elders do behind the scenes. And I know for a fact there's a lot of work that I don't even know about that is done. Even as Mark's health improves, it's possible that he won't be able to return to work for a long time and will have to take disability. And I talked a little bit with him about this, and if this occurs, he would like to be able to do personal work, be able to teach one-on-one and have studies, and support from us would allow him to be able to do that. And any number of things, be able to make class material, have sermon notes, make TV program material, visiting people, checking on those who are spiritually weak, and many other things that he could do that aren't specifically preaching from the pulpit. Even through the trials and the hardships that he's endured, in my opinion, he's completely worthy of our support. The support of elders is something that's not traditionally done, at least not to my knowledge. I can't think of any churches off the top of my head that I know of that support their elders. I guess the thing that I struggle with the most is how to go about enacting something like this. Because we have elders, I'm not exactly sure how to go about doing something like this. But I do know that in the past we've done an outstanding job of gathering people's thoughts and opinions on potentially controversial subjects so that we can maintain unity within the church here. I think if we decide to think about this further, this won't be any exception to that. I hope that you all will consider these things, and if I've said anything that's in error, please let me know. I'll be the first to admit that, like I said, I don't know what the best way of handling this situation is. But I do know that we have an elder that is serving to the best of his ability, despite all the issues that he's gone through, despite his health, despite the trials that he's gone through, that could use our support. If there's anyone here that has sin in their life they need to repent of, you have that opportunity at this time. The sermon wasn't necessarily geared around that, but that opportunity is always available. If anyone wants to become a Christian this morning, you can do that as well. And I hope that we'll all think about these things and I hope they've been beneficial to you. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing.